This is a recording of Dr. Tom Rozelle for Sunday, March 27th, 2016. You can listen to this program live every Sunday afternoon from 12 p.m. to 1 p.m. right here on 105.9 FM and AM 630 WMAL.
The following program is paid for by its sponsors, who are solely responsible for its content. Views expressed on this program are not the views of 105.9 FM and AM 630 WMAL.
The information provided on Dr. Tom Rozelle Live by Dr. Tom Rozelle, D.C., interview guests, show co-hosts, or substitute hosts is not intended or implied to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. It is for general information purposes only. Information from this broadcast should not replace the appropriate consultation and examination process by a licensed physician. Always consult your own physician prior to changing any current medical directive or prescription.
Dr. Tom Rozelle Live, right now. On 105.9 FM and AM 630 WMAL.
Welcome to Dr. Tom Rozelle Live. This is Dr. Tom Rozelle. Happy Easter, everybody. Hope that you enjoy a very, very spiritual and blessed day. So many of us need that. I started out with my family and, you know, they drag me kicking and screaming. No, not really. It's something that we do as a family every year and actually on a very, very regular basis. So I wish all of you a happy Easter. Kind of weird calendar this year because, you know, generally, you know, Passover and Easter and Orthodox Easter, they're all pretty close to each other within a week, one way or the other. This year, the calendar is kind of crazy. The, you know, traditional Easter is very early and Orthodox Easter is not for a few weeks down the road yet, and Passover, same thing. So we, you know, one of these days we can get in sync and maybe have this harmonic resurgence of spiritual focus, and all of us can do it at the same time. Wouldn't be that a great thing? It shows you that even the good guys out there are having their problems in agreement. My thought process. 888-630-9625. That's 888-630-9625. Love to talk to you on anything that you have in mind that has to do with your health and you'd like a little information relative to a non-drug, non-surgical approach, this is where you get to hear it. You know, we talk about all kinds of things from traditional Chinese medicine, acupuncture, chiropractic, applied kinesiology, functional medical nutrition, and, you know, we just kind of give you opinions and point you in a direction that might be a benefit, you know, something that might actually make a difference instead of treating and compartmentalizing the situation. Well, that's what we do the program for. That's why we're here. And the Result Center for Healing has ongoing programs, and I'd like to invite you to go to the website. I'd like you to go to RozelleCare.com. That's RozelleCare.com. Check it out and see what programs are going to be available for you on all kinds of different subjects. Also, you can go to DrTomRozelle.com. That's the website that's associated with this program and all the other things that I do around the country and around the world. And you can see webinars and different types of information sources that are there. So make use of them. Let me know what you would like to see in addition to those things. We're here to serve you. That's why we do the program. Let's talk about a lot of things that might be somewhat controversial and somewhat, you know, very, very straight up that you didn't know about. And, you know, I want to start with Easter since we're talking about it, right? So everybody, you know, there's several times of the year we talk about people's health going down the tubes starting long about Halloween, because Halloween marks the time when the candy makers are going into joyous overload. And it's because they get to sell tons and tons and tons of sugar to you, and artificial this and artificial that. And we all go out there because we have these addictive sweet teeth that we have to feed. And if we don't get our dose, we kind of feel left out, right? Well, the problem is that sugar in any form whatsoever that is refined, artificial, or natural has an impact on the body. So I said, well, you know what? Here's the deal. I'm doing it all the natural way. Well, let me tell you what a natural sugar does even with that. You know, you don't want to put too much of anything. You know, too much of a good thing is not good. So one teaspoon, there's a tremendous amount of evidence out there in research that suggests that one teaspoon of sugar decreases the white blood cell capacity to function up to 8 to 12% for many hours. So it doesn't knock it out. It's there. It just makes it comatose. So when you go out, you know, starting with Halloween and then into the Thanksgiving holidays and then the Christmas holidays and Passover coming through, you know, where we have big meals before that and then Easter and so forth and New Year's and, you know, we can name them all, right? So we go and we gorge ourselves on all of this stuff And what happens? We see our body kind of taking a dip. So let me tell you about Easter since we're talking about that. You know, everybody, there's a lot of us who respect Easter as a traditional Christian event. And some of us look at it because of the Easter Bunny and eggs and all those things. And I have to thank Jane in studio for turning me on to this, because when I saw it, I wasn't going to talk about that and give you a hard time today, but I decided to do it anyway. So here's the deal. Here's the deal. You know, when you go out and you grab that chocolate Easter bunny or that chocolate egg today, and you're going to, you know, you're going to just have a little bit because you've been fasting throughout Lent, and you kind of decide to scarf it down, guess what? You're getting a ton of all kinds of things. You're getting chocolate. You're getting sugar. Chocolate sometimes is artificial. Sometimes chocolate is covered with this plastic type of substance that's over the top, and you put that in your gut. And then if you add creamers to it, you mean, you know, white chocolate or, you know, milk chocolate, and that has a different things. But let's talk about little things. Let's talk about the sugar, which we just told you about. But there's this other piece that I get into, you know, a push-pull with a lot of people. It's called caffeine. Chocolate has high levels of caffeine. And even though that it allows you to relax, you know, because of the relaxing effect of chocolate, it relaxes everything. And an author says that it can relax the lower portion of your food tube. And guess what happens then? All that acid from your stomach starts coming back up in your chest and you burn like crazy. Not a good thing. Not a good way to start out a otherwise a joyous type of occasion. Also, there's this rebound effect. You go into euphoria. You know, a little bit of sugar makes you feel real good, right? Kind of, you know, mellows you out and increase your serotonin, and life is good for you. But then guess what happens? It dumps. It goes down. And then you get anxious and you get moody, you get depressed, and everything that goes along with that rebound phenomena with the blood sugar reaction. Not the best thing in the world. So not only does caffeine cause, you know, an upregulated hyper type of process, but when it goes down the other way, you can have all kinds of other side effects. And these are all out there, by the way, and I'd like to refer you to Medline if you'd like to know a little bit more about that. But understand that it does have its stuff. So if you're going to have a little bit of chocolate today, make sure it's good chocolate. Make sure that's only a little bit of chocolate. And savor it. Put it in your mouth. You know, it's like that one cartoon character puts it in his mouth and goes, you know, and enjoy it. But don't overdo it. Have a little bit. But otherwise, you know, rapid heartbeats, increased blood pressure, depression, kind of not being able to sleep tonight, tremors, nausea, even vomiting can be your parallel for the next couple of days. So you don't want to do that. And those of you who do it on a regular basis, you might ask yourself the question, is that why I'm depressed? Is that why things are not in balance as they should? So having said that, I won't harass you anymore, but just think about it a little bit, because you know what? I like chocolate, and probably this afternoon when I go to my son's house or and we sit and gather and so forth. But the good thing is that it'll be, you know, it'll be organic chocolate. There won't be anything else in it. It'll be very, very dark chocolate. And so I'll have a little square, and people don't know how they do that. I'll sit down with a cup of green tea. I have a little piece of dark chocolate, and they'll look at me and say, really? That's all? That's all you're going to do? And I said, yeah. You know, Sue buys me these chocolate bars, and I can make them last like months. And they can just sit there. And matter of fact, the bugs get them before I do sometimes, and I have to throw them out. And then if you think chocolate, you know, is not adulterated with things, if it just sits there forever and it still looks good, I'll leave that to your decision-making process. Charles, thank you for calling. How can I help you? Happy Easter to you.
Yes, you too. A question about my cholesterol and triglyceride levels. My cholesterol is 232. The LDL 142 and the triglycerides 185. I'm wondering, is that worrisome, and what can I be done to bring that down?
Yes. Even in my standards, that's not something. But the thing is, I can't tell you how worrisome it is, because the normal total cholesterol, LDLs, HDLs, the triglyceride levels, those guidelines are put out there, and those blood chemistries are put out there so that the drug companies ultimately can put you on medications called statins, and the statins are designed to drop cholesterols. Now, here's the deal. You don't know what pieces of those cholesterols that are elevated are really good guys and really bad guys. So here's the deal. There's something called a VAP test, V-A-P, and what that does, it gives you the subfractions of all the different cholesterols. For example, your HDL, which actually is a protein, it's a protein that works within the body to help supposedly protect, you know, the plaquing that can occur, the damage, the oxidative damage that it can occur. So, but they're really good protective guys, and they're guys that aren't so protective. And the only way that you can find that out is you have to do the subfractions. The same thing with the LDLs, the low-density lipotrophics. And what these guys do, there's really bad LDLs, and there's guys that they're not so bad. Let me give you an analogy. If you have a whole bunch of small BBs and ball bearings and so forth, right? They're dense, they're thick, they're hard. And if you put them in water, they're going to kind of just sink to the bottom. And if there's any kind of drainage in there, they're going to plug them up and nothing can go through them. Those are the bad LDLs. Those are the bad guys. Now, there's these good guys that are like these beach balls that you play with. They're really light and you can pop them around and so forth. And they just bounce. They don't plaque. And so that's why you have to know whether, you know, which part of these things. Now, triglycerides are generally elevated because of generally a couple things. One can be stress. Another one can be sugar. And sometimes it's a combination of those things. Liver function has a lot to do with that as well. And so you have to look at dietary patterns. So if, you know, I was going to recommend something to you, I would go to your doctor and have them do a VAP test, VAP, and then take a look to see where you fall into the parameters. If the majority of your lipoproteins are the small, dense ones, you could be having a problem and you've got to do something very quickly. A statin may not be the right direction. There are other things that can help you. Matter of fact, one of the things I was going to talk about today, and since I've got you online, I'm going to talk a little bit about it. It's the effect of niacin on cholesterol and on managing cholesterol and so forth, and does it help it and so forth. There's some interesting information that just came out and said that niacin is not as effective as originally thought, and in some people are trying to put it out there that it's actually dangerous. Well, here's the deal. It's one of those things that Fifth Avenue Marketing, my terminology, is skewing again. They're manipulating it. So let me talk to you a little bit about that. Let me explain it. Niacin, or what's really called nicotinic acid, it's a form of vitamin B3. And it's been used to lower cholesterol and triglycerides, by the way, since years and years ago, probably 60 years ago in the 1950s. And, you know, it was used before even, you know, the statins came out. So first, you know, there was a large placebo-controlled trial on the effects of niacin many years ago. And it began actually about 50 years ago. I think it was early 60s in that neighborhood. And the study was huge. It was a big study. It's like up to 10,000 people. And it was a history of people who had a heart attack, and they put them on large levels of niacin, up to 2,500 to 3,000 milligrams a day, or a placebo. They didn't know which ones they were taking. And after, I think it was something like 5 years, maybe a little longer than that, they compared those who were taking the placebo, which was nothing, and the average total cholesterol of the men that took the niacin. And just with that, it fell, the cholesterol itself fell about 10-12%. The triglycerides, something in the neighborhood of 25-30%. You'll have to look up the study. A lot of this is coming off the top of my head. And then the recidivism, other heart attacks also decreased and strokes decreased. And I'm going to get back into that a little bit. But Charles, you know, just listen to the program and I'll explain this much more fully and answer your question completely. Thank you for your phone call. I appreciate it. Niacin is, in my opinion, an excellent nutritional product for preventing plaquing and decreasing cholesterols and so forth. And we'll talk about that and the why behind that when we come back after some very important messages. Don't go away. Welcome back, everybody. Dr. Tom Rozelle here. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rozelle Live. Indeed, we're in studio. 888-630-9625. That's 888-630-9625. Love to talk to you. Happy Easter. It is that day that those of us who, you know, do believe in Christian faith look to this day as a time of celebration, and there's so much that all of us have in common across the board. So I want to wish you a joyous and very, very happy holiday with your family. And, you know, like I said earlier, you know, generally we're, you know, on the same calendar with the Orthodox churches and also with Passover and so forth. This year they're separated, but it's just because, I don't know. Anyway, have a great day and enjoy it. And be careful, as I said, with the chocolate and this and all the other stuff. Talking about niacin and our last caller, I want to continue with him. He asked me a little bit about his cholesterol, triglycerides, HDL, LDL patterns. And on the surface, there is a problem. And it's something that you really have to look into. You don't want to just say, it's nothing. But what you need to do is you need to take a look and see what the fractionated portions through a test called VAP, V-A-P. It'll give you the subfractions of all those things. Now, let's say that it is a problem. And we don't know that for sure. I don't know enough about you. But the things that I would encourage you to do is, one, immediately eliminate fast-acting carbohydrates, all the starches in your diet. Get rid of the sugars in your diet. Start drinking tons of water if you're not drinking. Shift to a little bit of green tea. Make sure that you get out and start walking every day. And your goal is to start walking up to 2 miles every day. Go slowly. I'm not giving you an amount of time. I'm just telling you to get out and start walking. Just doing those things will help. We're talking about niacin. Recently has been finger pointed at, and they're saying that there's a problem with it. Well, in my 40 years of practice and having dealt with literally thousands and thousands of patients from a nutritional point of view as well as a neurological point of view, there's a little bit to say, who's manipulating this situation? So the latest studies in niacin says that they disprove the, you know, the fact that it's good stuff for you. Well, here's the deal. For starters, we need to look at the effects of, you know, prescription extended release niacin. And, you know, what did they use a natural niacin or did they use something that was manipulated? You know, it's not the same as niacin that was originally used in the research that I was telling you about that came out in the 50s. In fact, ever since I've recommended niacin for many different types of things over the years, and, you know, I've told people about side effects that are associated with the extended release niacin. It's not something. When I was in school in Chicago, they used to use the extended release niacin, and we saw patients that would show up with different types of problems. Time release, extended release niacins from a pharmaceutical level are not the best products, in my opinion. And this type of product should be used actually with caution. But, you know, if you're using straight up niacin, it has a good effect on increasing HDL, the good guys, the good cholesterol, so to speak, and which statins, by the way, can't do. So if you're on a statin, it can't increase your HDL. It just doesn't do that. So even though you may be dropping the overall load of cholesterol, you're not increasing the protective portion, the HDL. And remember, we also said that there are really protective guys and there are less than protective guys. So as I've said many times, you know, to my patients and so forth, there's an effect. And by the way, you know, just to make sure that you're aware of it again, that anytime you take a statin, you deplete coenzyme Q10. And there's a lot of, and we're going to get into the second half of the show, we're going to talk about increased risk of memory and so forth. CoQ10, when it's depleted, dramatically increases your risk of dementia, and particularly cognitive old age that they say dementia, not a good thing. Also, diabetes and also heart failure and also muscle weakness and, you know, by the way, liver damage. So if you don't have enough CoQ10, which is being depleted by the statin, you're increasing your risk of all these things, but also liver problems, and you'll start seeing liver enzymes begin to rise over a period of time. You're not told that generally more often, but this is straight up stuff. This is not me telling you this. You can research it and do the research yourself. There's a physician out there that I like to read periodically, actually a couple of them, and one is Julian Whitaker. And the guy's a pretty straight shooter. I disagree with some of his positions, but generally across the board, he gets it mostly right. And, you know, I would encourage you to do that. And by the way, high doses of niacin is something if you really need to take that under the observation of somebody who really knows their stuff when it comes to nutrition, because, you know, if your doctor says, here, take this niacin, you get it up to 2,000-3,000 milligrams a day, you can dramatically increase your risk of gout or liver problems, and even if you have some blood sugar handling situation. So, you know, there are many ways of handling this, and I need you to make sure that you do due diligence and look it up, check it out, and just don't do it on yourself if you think you have any kind of problems. We're coming up to a break, and I have much more for you. We're going to talk a lot about dementia on today's program. I am so excited about a couple things, and you'll know why when we come back. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rozelle Live. See you in a minute.
Dr. Tom Rozelle Live continues now on 105.9 FM and AM 630 WMAL.
Welcome back, everybody. Dr. Tom Rozelle here. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rozelle Live. Indeed, I'm in studio. Happy Easter. Hope all of you have a great day. Just keep it easy on the sugar. You know, don't go too crazy. You know, chocolate is one of those things that are really good in moderation, but over the top is not so hot. So be very careful, okay? Make sure that you balance it out with all kinds of other good things. Fortunately, you know, it's the last time, you know, in the this mid-season, you know, extravaganza, starting with Halloween all the way through now, that we actually start, you know, keep destroying our bodies eating all this stuff. But nevertheless, some of you are addicted all the way through, and then that's another conversation that we should have at some other point. I want to talk to you a little bit about cognitive patterns and what happens, you know, in this whole scenario of age-related cognitive dysfunction. And some of us, it's happening very, very young, and also the increased risk of Alzheimer's. We're going to talk about it from a lot of different pathways and kind of nutritionally, lifestyle, and so forth. And what I want you to understand is that this stuff is on the rise. And all of a sudden in a society today, we're seeing more and more problems with cognitive impairment, things that are not processing the way they should or in how they used to process. And a lot of it has to do with lifestyle, straight across, not only modern times, but lifestyle. And so we look at things that are healthy for the body. We look at things that are very dangerous. You know, if you listen to my program, you've heard me talk about staying away from certain things: sugar, sodas, coffee, black teas, fast food, fried foods, alcohol, gluten, additives, preservatives, you know, GMO products and things of that nature, and dairy and the like. So there are damaging foods. There are foods that are processed that are even much more damaging, even if they're not processed. So let's talk about a few of them. You know, how many of you on a regular basis, and be honest to yourself, you know, you don't have to raise your hand. I can't see you, but raise your hand. Maybe I can see you. I don't know. Raise your hand. You know, so how many brain damaging types of foods do you have in your body? And when I talk about that, you know, how about refined grain products, that you're eating these things on a regular basis? You know, you stop in the morning, you grab a pastry, or you grab a donut, or you have your cereal and dairy and you put sugar on top of that, or you have your frosted flakes of some sort or nature. And, you know, I just want to say in your brain, is this nutritionally supportive to my body? Ask yourself that question. You know, we've talked for years about red meat, and the battle goes back and forth. Is it good for you? Is it bad for you? Well, red meat has high levels of iron, has B12, has things of that nature, dense proteins, but also it causes oxidative damage in the body, particularly when you're eating way too much of it. How much is way too much? You need to stay under 3 servings a week. Yeah, 3 servings from anything that's a mammal, anything that has red meat. And by the way, the pork is not the other red meat. That's something that should never, ever, ever, in my opinion, go into anybody's body. Why? Simply because of the fact that pigs are filthy, dirty animals. They sweat through their feet. They don't sweat through their skin. And they eat their own swill. And subsequently, the levels of parasites are very high. And all that stuff goes into you. Also, pig meat is the closest akin to human organ systems and muscle tissue. When I was in college, I did courses in, it's called comparative anatomy, and we did cats and we did pigs. And the pig was studied simply because that their organ systems, their muscles look very much like human. We know today that the immune responses are very similar. So when you eat something that is similar, you can cause an increased risk of immunological deterioration. So I would encourage you to reconsider. Cheeses, particularly, and dairy of all kinds, unless it's raw, and in my opinion, sheep or goat. You know, margarines are artificial chemistries that you don't know what in your system. Anything that's fast food or fried foods, things of that nature, the radical damage that occurs to your body are huge. And I'm sitting there telling you all this, and most of you are saying, I think it's time for me to do something else other than listen to this program, right? Because I'm hitting you in the soft spots. I'm hitting you where it hurts, you know, the things that you put in your body. But there are healthy foods as well. Things like anything that is colorful and you know, green and raw and nuts and berries and certain types of beans and grains that are within allowable presentations, buckwheat, for example, or wild rice. Those are good grains. The other stuff, not so hot. Poultry, olive oil, coconut oil, and believe it or not, organic red wine. And we may talk a little bit about that today, because that was kind of the thing that got a little excited about, and you know why that is the way it is. But what I want you to understand is that so much of what we're looking at today is a result of lifestyle, expedient lifestyles. We grab as we can. We want everything. You know, do you shop on the outside of the grocery store, or do you shop where the boxes are and all the plastic is? Do you have fresh foods that you better eat within, you know, a day or two? And by the way, those fresh foods, if they sit there and last for a long period of time, I would suggest that you find another market or buy different quality, because they've been sprayed with something. And, you know, when they transport things up from wherever they grow them and they last longer than you, that tells you that there's an issue, there's a problem. Nikki, thank you for calling. How can I help you?
Hi there. I have shoulder impingement syndrome. My doctor, well, I went to an ortho doctor.
Okay.
He gave me anti-inflammatory Mobic.
Okay.
And
what's the question?
But I just want to know what to do next.
Okay, tell me when did it start?
Probably a month or a month and a half ago.
Okay, any injuries in the last year? Car accidents, falls, anything that, you know, that you've hurt yourself doing?
No, I can't remember anything like that.
Now,
maybe lifting bags of fertilizer or pushing them across the...
Okay. Do you get any neck pain?
I do have spondylosis.
Okay. So let me tell you about the shoulders and the arms and the hands and the chest, okay? All the nerves that go to those muscles come from your neck. Mm-hmm. And if the nerves that come from your neck, it's called, and particularly it's the lower portion of your neck, it's called the brachial plexus, the cervical brachial plexus. If those nerves are irritated, particularly through something like spondylosis, you're not getting the firing of the nerve to the muscle or the nerve to the organ system the way it's supposed to. So subsequently, you become more predisposed to injury by doing things that you should be able to do. So that motion now becomes an irritation. A shoulder impingement problem or syndrome, as the medical community would like to call it, is a term that they use when they don't know what's causing it. So if you really had a shoulder impingement problem, it becomes necessary to understand which muscles are not firing the way they're supposed to. The shoulder's made up of this, you know, the bony apparatus. You have your long bone just comes out underneath the shoulder, makes up part of your arm. It's called the humerus. You have the collarbone, and you have the wing, the shoulder blade, the scapula, and they come together and make a joint called the acromioclavicular joint. So you have, that's what the shoulder really is. Now you have all these muscles that are around it. Muscles either are facilitated, meaning they work properly and they fire the way they're supposed to, or they're inhibited, weak, they not firing the way they're supposed to, but they work in opposition to each other. So sometimes you get a muscle that's not working properly, that's impaired in its function, and the opposite muscle now can look like it's over tight, over contracted. And so, but the question is, what caused it to begin with? So if you were my patient, what I'd be looking at is, what is the origin of the mechanism that we're looking at? And I'm making things up now for you, okay? The middle muscle in your shoulder is called the middle deltoid. You have a rotator muscle called the supraspinatus muscle. Now, those are two different nerve roots. One is from the sixth nerve root of your neck, and the other one comes from the lower portion of your neck, generally around cervical 7 or the first thoracic nerve root. So you want to see if the bony apparatus in the spine is out of position in a way that it's causing impairment of that signal to that muscle, allowing that muscle to misfire. If it's misfiring, you can't do anything with the shoulder until you fix the nerve. once the nerve is freed up to fire the way it's supposed to facilitate normally, now you can rehabilitate the shoulder. And we see those all the time. We see a lot of professional athletes that come in with, you know, the type of problem that you're talking about. They'll complain about, you know, pain in the shoulder, not being able to lift the shoulder, not being able to raise it, numbness, tingling in the hand, neck and shoulder pain. And those are things that can be addressed very, very specifically and very effectively if you identify the cause. So if we can help you, love to help you. You know, come by and, you know, talk one of the docs at the Result Center for Healing. And, you know, they'll be straight up. They'll tell you exactly what it's all about and see what can be done. Nikki, appreciate your phone call. Thank you for calling. 888-630-9625, 888-630-9625. You know, unfortunately, we see so much of that type of situation where people are given a term to describe the area of pain, but not the cause of the problem. For example, not only shoulder impingement, but thoracic outlet syndrome. That simply means that you got this area where the nerves come out of it and something is causing irritation. It doesn't tell you what's causing it. You've got to find out what the cause is. If you find out what the cause is, you can treat the problem successfully. In every shoulder, in every muscle, every knee, every hip, you have not only nerves that go to those areas, you have blood supply, you have removal of waste, you have fascial coverings that allow the muscles to move easily, you have bursa sacs. All these things work in tandem to each other. They work in synchrony, in symphony, and you have to really understand where the mechanism is that's causing it to break down. So don't just accept a diagnosis of shoulder impingement or thoracic outlet or, you know, a bursitis, or ask the question, why? What's causing it? In this situation, may very well be that cervical spondylosis, which is very treatable, by the way. It just has to be treated the right way, and it can be treated without drugs, and it can be treated without surgery if it's not let to go until you have no option. 888-630-9625, 888-630-9625. Let's talk a little bit more about this age-related functional decline of the, you know, what happens to us, and we begin to accept it as, well, that's life. Well, it's not just life. Age-related problems can come as a result of many things, and particularly in today's society where we're not eating like we should, that we're not exercising as we should. You know, my family, as many of you know, came from the old country. They came from the island of Sicily. And in there, their foods were very different. They were fresh grown. They were unadulterated. They ate more vegetables than they ate anything else, nuts and seeds. They ate a lot of fresh pressed olive oil, fish, lamb, things of that nature. And so subsequently, their health there was very different, and they didn't have the predominance of the problems that we see here, particularly as it relates to demential problems. So what happens here? What do we do that, you know, that causes us such angst? Well, immediate impact, brain impact, deleterious brain impact comes down to a lot of different things. We can look at things that happen very quickly. Many of you think it's a lifetime of problems. It's not. It can happen very quickly. There was a study that I read in one of the journals, I think within the last month and a half, 2 months. I read so much that I forget where it comes from sometimes. But they said that adults in their 70s and older, these guys that were getting high diets and simple sugars and saturated fats and so forth, began to show age-related dysfunction in only 4 weeks of eating this stuff. 4 weeks. So if you go out and you're eating garbage and you want to turn your life around, you got to get rid of the stuff that's causing it. Go to, matter of fact, if I remember it now, it's the Buck Institute of Research on Aging. It released a couple articles. This one research program was done and released, I think it was last year in 2015. There was one that was done prior to that as well. But it's interesting reading and tremendously well documented and bibliographied. So if you're in that place where you want to know, what can I do for myself? How can I help myself? There's a lot that you can do really to make a difference. And to not do the study, just to accept the idea that, you know, that's the way it is, and you go into these degenerative changes, the brain shrinkage that we're all so afraid of. You know, phosphatidylserine is a neurological support enzyme that is used to help neurological transmission. Taurine is another one that repairs and helps taurine being an amino acid. If you look at these patients and you do the homework and you study, you're going to see so many things that are depleted in the body because of lifestyle. You know, recently the journals of clinical nutrition and clinical biochemistry are touting, you know, this amazing nutritional product called exanthanins. And what they really are, they're a carotenoid. They help prevent the breakdown and the degeneration of certain systems. When you go into a cognitive decline, you end up looking at the stress patterns that we talk about, that HPA axis, which is hypothalamus, pituitary, and adrenal. So if your adrenal system is stressed out, you're not eating the way you're supposed to, you burn out that thing called the hippocampus. The hippocampus is related to all these guys, and guess what happens is that's the memory center. That's the thing that allows you to recall. That's where you get stuck with the words, that you can't remember the word. You know what you want to say, but you can't bring it out. There's ways of making that work again, and you just have to begin to realize that it's truly in your hands. We're going to talk a little bit more about that when we come back from the break, because, you know, this is a subject that we could talk about forever. It's one that really upsets me that so many people are accepting of, that they have to put up with or they have to deal with, when the cause is very evidential and the return is something that you can do yourself. Don't go away. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rozell.
105.9 FM and AM 630 WMAL.
Welcome back, everybody. Dr. Tom Rozell here. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rozell live, as you do every Sunday. Same place on your dial, same old time, 12 on the Eastern Seaboard, and do the math for wherever you are listening to us, because we know that there's so many of you listening all over the country, and hopefully we're giving you the information and it benefits you in the way that we intend it to and the way that you want it to be. Talking a little bit about the brain and the things that you need to be aware of, and, you know, I want to add a couple more things to the fireplace. Those of you who are smokers or are exposed to smoke on a regular basis are going to increase your risk of all kinds of dementia patterns. It's one of those things that decreases not oxygenation to the neurological system, but also causes neurodegenerative diseases to take place, and the incidence increases dramatically. So I want you to make sure that you're aware of that. But I promised you that I would talk about a couple of different things, what you can do to help yourself. You know, memory loss associated with Alzheimer's is looking very potentially good relative to its reversibility, relative to studies that are now in the initial stages of observation. I've looked at research repetitively, and there's all kinds of thought processes of what happens with Alzheimer's and Parkinson's patients and MS patients and so forth. And one of the things that we're seeing is that there is a buildup of lymphatic tissue within the brain. The brain can't release it like other tissues, and it's due to several things. One of the things is drawn from my field in chiropractic applied kinesiology, and that they're seeing that when the upper cervical spine, the upper part of your neck, is misaligned, then the cerebral spinal fluid and the lymph system cannot flow properly. And when this happens, it causes an increased pressure on the midbrain, and it's noticed both in Alzheimer's and Parkinson's and patients with MS. Also noticing when this takes place is patients who have problems with double vision and nystagmus, where the eyes are going back and forth. So when you look at cerebral spinal fluid flow and lymphatic flow, you have to ask the question, why can't it drain properly? And a lot of research in my field is starting to point to the, and not only from an anecdotal point of view, but also in a research-based model, that is pointing to that the vertebral areas, the skull, occiput, C1, C2, the first two vertebrae, are out of position. This goes back, actually, way back in the origins of chiropractic, which was 1895, by the way. And there was a sanatorium that was opened by a guy by the name of B.J. Palmer, who was the son of the founder of chiropractic, and was there to treat only patients who had these and other very severe neurodegenerative diseases. And what they noticed is there was quite notable amount of success in treating them. So I would, again, encourage you to do your research, talk to people who really understand this, but you want to combine it with other things. And what are those other things that you want to combine it with? Well, in my opinion, and based on all the information that I've been able to assimilate, and recent studies are coming out even from UCLA, which is kind of interesting, right? Eliminate all gluten products and processed foods and carbohydrates out of your diet. Dramatically increase vegetables and non-sugary types of fruits, things with lower glycemic indexes, particularly berries. Berries have a tremendous impact on the neurological system. You want to meditate or pray constantly and try to do it at least twice a day. You want to implement things like yoga just to relax and reduce stress in your body. You want to make sure you get enough sleep. You know, don't follow my lead because I'm the crazy guy. I'm out there all the time and I'm pushing, but you really need to get, you know, about 7 hours plus of sleep on a regular basis. Your body can handle it once or twice, but your repair process, you know, you've got to go back and really let your body resolve itself. Vitamin D3. We see a dramatically increased risk of all kinds of neurological degenerative conditions when D3 is low. Fish oils have to go up. Coenzyme Q10, which we talked about earlier. Infections within the teeth. You have to make sure that your teeth are clean and you have good gum health. You have to make sure that you restore good hormone function and make sure that you're eating on a regular basis. But by the way, you want to have about 12 hours between when you go to bed at nighttime when you have your breakfast. And we'll talk about that another time. And a lot of you are saying, What? That long? Yeah, well, that long, and I'll tell you why in another program. Coming up to the end of the show, I want to wish all of you a very, very happy Easter. Enjoy your day with your family. This is Dr. Tom Rozelle. Love you all.